read. If you receive my word and treasure my command within you, so that you incline your ear and apply your heart to understanding. Yet, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you'll understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you and thank you for this day. We thank you for your greatness and all that you are as revealed in Scripture. Father, we thank you that you are the source of wisdom that we cry out for. It is you, and through your revelation of your word, of yourself through the word, that gives us not only the knowledge of who you are accurately, but it also reveals your will, your standards, your commands, and your ways. Father, as we look into this passage this morning, we are exhorted strongly to urgently and diligently and persistently cry out and seek and look and long and search for wisdom, which comes from you. Wisdom all begins with the fear of you, that we would, in awe and respect, love and adoration, live our lives and be governed by who you are and your standards and expectations of us. So, Father, may we have ears to hear and eyes to see. May we have wills that's willing to submit and surrender to his teaching and its authority. So, Father, do a work in us, and through your word this morning, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have just heard of wisdom's call to everyone, everywhere. Then came in chapter 1 of Proverbs the rebuke of the fools and the scorners who chose to remain in their state of folly and foolishness. And because they have rejected wisdom's invitation, they were judged by reaping what they have sown, and when they came to their senses, it was too late. And they cried out to God, and God would not listen, nor could he be found. Clearly we see that in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 29 through 31, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancy. Then at the end of the chapter came the great promise, one verse, to those who decided and chose to listen to wisdom's call. Verse 33, but whosoever listens to me shall dwell safely and will be secure without the fear of evil. Now we move into chapter 2, and basically what we have in chapter 2 is the call and the challenge and exhortation to those who did stop and take the time to listen to what wisdom had to say. Look at verse 1 and 2 with me. My son, if you receive my word and treasure my command within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Job long ago asked the question, where shall wisdom be found? In Job 28, verse 12, it said this, where can wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? And then in verse 13 through 19 in that chapter, Job went on to say that wisdom is not found in the things of this world. Nor is there anything more valuable than wisdom. as well as nothing in this world should be compared to wisdom. And then he posed the question again in verse 20. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? Well, he answers that question in verse 23. God understands its way, and he knows its place. Here Job gives us the answer to that long sought after question, where can wisdom be found? It is in God. Solomon gives us the idea of where to find it. Here Solomon tells us both where we may find it and how we may acquire it. This is where we are at this point. Solomon gives us what I believe is a beautiful picture of a compass and a guide. He gives us the compass to point us and chart out the right direction to go, and the guide is the one who comes along step by step and allows you to know every step along the way to the achieved and desired goal, which is wisdom. Picture for a moment back in chapter 1 where wisdom is calling. It's everywhere. It's everywhere to be heard. It's everywhere to be found if you are seeking and looking and listening. Imagine and picture somebody stopping and hearing this call. Not like the fools we learned about in chapter 1, the scorner and the ignorant and naive one and the fools. We see here this person is hearing the call of wisdom and stopping to listen and to consider what is being said. In our passage, we're going to learn that wisdom is just not gained simply by hearing its call. No, it's much, much more than that. The gems and nuggets of wisdom are not found on the surface, and their meanings are not understood by a glance. The principles and lessons that wisdom gives are not secured by coincidence and a casual acquaintance. Though wisdom is available to everyone and everywhere, to transfer knowledge into wisdom requires a person must gain understanding and discernment in how to apply that knowledge to life for the glory of God. Wisdom is not simply about knowledge. Wisdom is taking right knowledge and applying it with application and discernment is the meaning of wisdom. It's knowledge applied for the glory of God. And for you to do this, it takes work, a diligent and determined effort. Notice in verses 1 through 4, I want you to notice the three ifs in verse 1. My son, if you receive my word. Verse 3, yes, if you cry out for discernment. Verse 4, if you seek her as silver. Here is the condition that must happen if you're going to gain wisdom and discernment and understanding. In fact, what you're going to see in these first four verses, two in each verse, is eight verbs, eight action words that is an exhortation and command for us to gain wisdom. The verbs are receive and treasure, to incline and to apply, cry out and lift up your voice, to seek and to search for wisdom. And we're going to go break down each and every one of these, and we're going to find out that each and every one of these are words that require diligence. So let's look at the first one, the word receive. The word receive means to seize something, to put forth the effort and continue to the effort until you seize it, until you get it. It is the idea of to lay hold of it. It is also the idea of once you do it and gain hold of it and seizure of it, you consent to it, you agree with it, you believe it. The word treasure is a good word. It means to hide. It is the idea to store away, to remember something for in the future. If you look at the text, my son, if you receive my word and treasure my command within you. So the idea of treasuring it within you. Not simply treasuring it and hiding it somewhere and going to it later, but within you. It is the scripture that we are to receive and hide within us by the words, my commands. We are to attend with diligence to the word of God and his command, and to receive it and to retain it with all readiness of mind. Kenneth Acton said it this way. Listen carefully. I thought this was very helpful. Consider the time when this was written and how learning took place in a schoolroom. There were no recommended textbooks or course handouts for the inattentive to fall back on. What the student learned is what he heard and remembered. To treasure up has in view is the need for careful memorization of the lesson. The good student was the one who learned his lesson by heart. It's not enough to simply hear it like you may in a Sunday morning sermon and go out and forget what manner of lessons and principles and truths you heard. It is the idea to listen to it, to heed it, and to treasure it and hide it in one's heart. Because of that quote, I came up with this observation, the potential downfall. Now, this is a big statement for me to say. The potential downfall of books and stored information is sometimes we tend to use them as backup information for when we need it instead of reading, reflecting, and treasuring the wisdom contained in them to live God-honoring lives now. How often do we have books and things? I mean, we have at our fingertips the information on the internet to get a lot of, you can get a lot of misinformation, but you can get a lot of good stuff too. And yet we don't take advantage of it for the sole purpose to receive it and to hide it within us. The whole idea here is the fact that we need to come to grips with that we are to hide God's word and its truth within us. It is in the scripture that we have the deposit of divine wisdom sent down from above in written form. What we have here, the word of God, is the revelation of God himself and his will. The word of God makes it wise into salvation, to understand our origin, our purpose and meaning in this life, and give an account to God when our life is over here on earth. Also, when we approach God's word, we need to approach it as God's word. We learn in Sunday school, in the adult Sunday school class, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God which you heard from us, you welcome it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth the word of God which also effectively works in you who believe. After we receive it, beloved, after we hide it in our heart to do its effectual work to our soul. That is what we are called and commanded to do. Let's remember the wonderful parable of the sower that our Lord gave in Matthew 13. Where he talked about the four different grounds representing the four different hearts in the reception of the word of God. The wayside, the stony ground, those that fell among thorns, and those that fell on good ground. The first three were speaking of how they got distracted. The wayside, they took it, didn't understand it, and it got plucked out of their heart. Stony ground, no root in them, withered away when suffering came. The other was distracted by the cares and riches of this world. But when you come to the fourth one, that reflect a truly regenerate heart, it speaks of it falling on good ground. Here's what it said when our Lord explained it to his disciples in Matthew 13:23. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. I took the time to see how the other gospels use the same parable. Luke gave it the more additional insight in Luke 8, verse 15. Here's what our Lord said in the Gospel of Luke. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart. Now here's the next one I want you to catch. Keep it and bear fruit with patience. They obey it. They do it. They keep it. They receive it and hide it. You may be here this morning. You may be a very intelligent person. But if you lack the knowledge and understanding of God's holy world, holy word, the Bible makes it very clear, you are a fool. Even the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 98 through 100 said this, you, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancient because I keep your precepts. Here is not the psalmist in pride and arrogance thinking he's smarter than everybody else, but he is saying because of your word, because of the truth that is contained in it, and it's rooted in truth and reality, and if I bank on that and I live on that and I live by faith in that, I will indeed surpass the knowledge and understanding and the wisdom of the ancient, my teachers, and my enemies. Because God's word is given to us by the God of truth. But we live in a world where people pursue and value learning, knowledge, and education, but all without the knowledge of God, which is the core and source of our wisdom, the wisdom that we are called to seek and to go after. It begins and ends with God, the knowledge of the holy. Matthew Henry said it this way, we must be convinced that the words of God are the fountain and standard of wisdom and understanding, and that we need not desire to be wiser than they will make us. End quote. So, beloved, to reject and ignore and to dismiss the word of God is to be the fool that we learned about in Proverbs chapter 1. Even in Job 23, verse 12, he said this regarding the word receive and treasuring and hiding. He said, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. In other words, food in that day was not the easiest to get because you had to get it almost daily. But he wasn't as concerned about treasuring and hoarding food as much as the word of God within his heart. The word treasure, the same word that we have in our text this morning. Psalms 119:11, your word have I hidden in my heart, same word, that I might not sin against you. Later on in chapter 4, verse 21 in Proverbs, do not let them depart from your eyes. What? Wisdom, the knowledge of God's word. Keep them in the midst of your heart. In other words, keep them always at the forefront of your heart, which speaks to the mind, our thinking. Beloved, even with all that, it's not enough to learn well, be attentive, and retain knowledge. We must incline ourselves and apply our heart to wisdom. That's what we see in verse 2. Look at it with me, please. So that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. The word incline means the idea to be attentive, but there is another nuance to it that means that you are continually, habitually, consistently intending and learning and leaning into what wisdom says. The word incline means to heed and pay attention. Charles Bridges, the great commentator on Proverbs, said that there must be an active, practical habit of attention. You can't hit and miss, come and go, hot and cold, in and out, ebb and flow. You must have a persistent, intentional, dogged determination to seek and to hear and be attentive whenever wisdom is speaking. wherever you can find wisdom. That's why I posed the question in the title of my message, are you seeking wisdom? We already know wisdom is calling everyone, available everywhere, but are you listening and seeking for it? It's not enough to simply say, hey, well, I acknowledge you. You need to pursue it. Acton said this, quote, in Old Testament thought, the heart was the seat of the intellectual rather than the emotion. Its main business was to reflect, reason, know, and understand things we do with our minds. So the student had got to apply his mind. There had got to be some quiet reflection and some hard thinking if wisdom is to be won. Wisdom is a closed door to a lazy mind, end quote. That's why it says in Proverbs 23, verse 12, apply your heart to instruction and your ear to the words of knowledge. Psalm 78, 1, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth. Proverbs 4, verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Again and again and again, pursue it. Receive it. Hide it. Incline to it. Apply it. Bring to the point number 2, verse 3. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. Again, notice the word if. You can do it before each of these verbs. You could easily say, if you receive my word, if you treasure my command, if you incline your ear, if you apply your heart for understanding, if you cry out for discernment, if you lift up your voice for understanding, and it goes on. It is the condition. You must do these. The idea here to cry out and to lift your voice is the idea of crying out to God in prayer for wisdom. To crying out for God, I need help, I only can get it from you, therefore I'm calling out to you in prayer. James chapter 1 verse 5 said it this way, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God gives it freely and openly and abundantly, and it doesn't reproach you and scorn you. He doesn't say, you know, you've been asking, and, you know, 50 times I kept coming to you and you don't respond. No, we cry out to God, we ask of God, he will give it. But we must cry out to God for wisdom if we are going to do anything in the way of gaining wisdom. We need to cry out to God like as if we were suffering from hunger, begging for bread. Not only do we need to have the cry out with a sense of urgency, we need to pray importunate prayers. This is the prayer that comes from the parable of Luke 18, where we have the widow and the judge. The word importunate means to be so urgent and so persistent in your prayer that you will even become annoying. Parents understand that with their little children. They just can't take no for an answer if they want something. You know, I would like some ice cream. No. Can I have some ice cream? And they'll say it 552 times. They just keep at it. That's the way we are to cry out to God in prayer for wisdom. That is what is being taught here. In the parable in Luke 18, 5 through 7, it came to this. Yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, led by her continual coming, she wearies me. There's the annoying part. And here's what God said. Stunning what he said. Verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Did you hear what he said? And then he said these words. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? We must, if we're going to gain wisdom, beloved, and the knowledge of his will, and the knowledge of himself, and the knowledge of his ways, We must be proactive in crying out to God and lifting up our voices. Never, even though prayer is important, never assume it's prayer alone that's going to give you wisdom. You can't have it without it, but it's not alone. You must be diligent of what we learn in verse 1 and what we're going to learn, what we learn in verse 1 and 2 and what we're going to learn in verse 4. You must apply diligence. And you do what we are to seek, if you notice, and cry out for in verse 3, for discernment and for understanding. Things that get convoluted have the ability to separate so you can make good decisions that's honoring to the Lord. That you can look at something and it make you understand it, and you it makes sense in life and how you do it. Time and time again, it's recorded in the scripture of godly men and women crying out to God for wisdom and discernment. Psalm 119, verse 34, give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Psalm 119:73, your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Psalm 119:125, I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimony. Again in 169, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. See, you can see you can't get understanding and discernment separated from his word. It's in junction with the word. Even in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, it said this way, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Are you crying out for wisdom? Are you seeking and longing for God to give you wisdom and knowledge of himself and his will and his ways? Bring that to our final point. Point number 3, willing to sacrifice to gain. We need to be willing to do that. Verse 4, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure. Again, I want to call your attention to the word if. If you do this, if you seek her like you would for money, if you would search for her like you know of a hidden treasure, and you'll turn up every stone and dig up every hole you can possibly do to find this treasure. This seeking and searching for wisdom. These are words that teach us that we need to be willing to take pain to gain wisdom. Like you would do for gold and silver and precious stones and for hidden treasures. We need to be willing to labor as much as those who strenuous labor for the wealth of this world. I like what Matthew Henry said here. He said, laboring in search of wisdom as those who dig in the mine, who undergo great toil and run great hazard with indefatigable industry and an invincible faithfulness and resolution in pursuit of precious ore, or as those who will be rich rise up early and sit up late and turn every stone to get money and fill their treasure. When it comes to understanding what we are to do in our effort to gain wisdom, when it comes to this point in our third point, verse 4, of seeking her and searching for her, like people do for their money and hidden treasures. Let me pose an observation. Many of us have never sought wisdom like we do our job. So often we work when we're sick, we work when we're tired, we work when we're in pain, we work and sacrifice, we work and put things off, we work and skip vacations, we work and skip family things, all for money over time, wealth. And yet we have never done that in the pursuit of wisdom. Sure, you may have learned some things over the year, but it's often served by someone else, but not you alone with the Lord teaching you, begging and pleading in your closet, God, help me to understand your book. Help me to understand who you are. I want to live a life that fears you and pleases you in all that I do. Oh, how content we are with so little of wisdom and knowledge from God's word. May we be like the miner who seek to get as much as they can. I couldn't help but to pass up this quote from Charles Bridges. This habit of living in the element of Scripture is invaluable. To be filled from this divine treasury, to have large portions of the Word daily passing through the mind, gives us a firmer grasp and a more suitable and diversified application of it. Yet this profit can only be fully reaped in retirement. We may read the Scriptures in company, but to search them, we must be alone with God. Here we learn to apply ourselves wholly to the Word and the Word wholly to us. This enriching study gives a pure vein of sound judgment. The mere reader often scarcely knows where to begin, and he prefers the routine without any definite object. His knowledge, therefore, must be scanty and ineffective. Oh, beloved, we must read and meditate on God's Word with attention and affection. It's not enough simply to read it to know it, but to read it and love it, because it comes from God Himself. Only when we diligently receive it and hide it within and incline ourselves and apply ourselves and to cry out and lift our voices up, seek and to search for her like hidden treasure. I want you to notice, and I didn't read it and wasn't planning on preaching it until tonight, but I want to give you a taste. Look at verse 5 now. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Only then, after you do all the 8 ifs, with persistence, dogged determination, intentional effort in the same direction to gain His wisdom. Why do we have to work so hard for wisdom? Why do we have to learn the fear? Why is it so hard to learn the fear of the Lord and then the knowledge of God? Allow me a few moments to help you with this. First of all, Romans 11:33 says this: Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgment and His ways past finding out. Because God is infinite and we are not. God is unsearchable, but yet He can be searched. He had revealed Himself. Job even said in 11, verses 7 through 9, Can you search out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than heaven. What can you do? Deeper than Sheol. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. God is infinite. God is unsearchable. But God will not, cast His precious word and wisdom before dogs and swine. We clearly see that in Matthew 7, verse 6. Do not give to what is holy to the dog, nor cast your pearls before the swine. Why? Let they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. The idea here, God is not going to give His precious holy word to those who will dismiss it, who will not see its value, and will use the truth only for selfish end. God will not give it to the curious, to the insincere, or those who want to be entertained. God did not give understanding of his word to the proud, but he did give it to the humble. Those who will tremble at his word. Until you humble yourself, hungering and thirsting for him, you will never, ever gain wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One. It is only when we hunger and thirst for it that we will have the promise of being filled. We must search and seek her with our whole heart, Deuteronomy 4:29. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him. You will find him if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. Jeremiah 29:13 says it this way. And you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. We learn in chapter 1 that when the fools and the scorners and the naive refuse, reject, and ignore and despise God's wisdom call, and they reap what they sowed, and they, when it came, then they cried out, and God said, no, I'm not going to listen to you. You had your chance. That's why Isaiah 55 said, call on the Lord while he may be found. Well, you can do it up front if you do Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Take those 8 verses and apply it to your life. Verse 5 promises, then you will know. Only those who continually keep asking and seeking and knocking will wisdom be given. When we have those precious verses in Matthew chapter 7 and in Luke 11, 9 and 10, where it said, so I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For anyone who asks, receives, and who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks will be opened. The word ask, seek, and knock are in the present tense, which means that then you continually do it. It's not you ask one. It is you constantly ask, seek, knock. Always longing and begging and crying out and wanting and seeking and looking and striving for wisdom, to know God. The world craved for sex and pleasure, desired the things of this world, and pursued wealth and seeked to the end of the earth for happiness and the next thrill. While God's word tells us to seek him, to seek wisdom that comes from him. Proverbs 4 verse 7, listen to this. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all you're getting, get understanding. Whatever you are itching for, craving for, going after for, make sure it's wisdom. Make sure it's wisdom. Proverbs 16:16, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding to be chosen rather than silver. Beloved, in all our getting, wanting, longing, desiring, yearning, craving, pursuing, and chasing, let it be for wisdom above anything and everything else. Proverbs 3, verse 15, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot be compared to her. Do you believe that? Do you believe what God said? Hey, this is the way to go. Proverbs 8, verse 11, wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that one may desire cannot be compared with her. Seek her like the pearl of great price. We need to seek wisdom like and have the spirit of Jacob. I will not let go unless you bless me. May God give us a hunger and a thirst for wisdom of himself, and get away from our indifference and our apathy and our deadness and lifelessness when his word sets us on fire and turns us loose. It's there for us. May his word be hidden inside of it to the point where it's like fire in our bones. Even Jeremiah in 20, verse 9 said this. He said, I'm not going to mention the Lord's name anymore. He was kind of getting tired of being beat up on for preaching, thus saith the Lord. But something happened. You don't internalize and soak in and saturate your soul with God's word and stop, and it does nothing. It said this, but his word would in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I would weary of holding it back, and I could not. Beloved, when you truly go down the path of wisdom for some time and then try to stop, the soul burns, yearns, and longs and desired for God. For God, for his word, for his will, and his ways. Oh, beloved, it starts with crumbs. Then at pieces, then at the slice. Man, you want the whole loaf. It starts with a taste. A sip, a swig, a drink, a gulp, and pretty soon you're drinking nonstop, wanting and desiring more and more. Sometimes we use the expression, what a fire hydrant and a fire hose. Just like it says in Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2, the deer pants for water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Then I shall come. Many years ago, I came across the story of a young man who wanted wisdom, and he tried to find out who was the wisest man on the earth at the time, and he went to great lengths to go seek and find this man, and when he finally came to this man, he asked, hey, I heard you're the wisest man on the earth. I've looked all over the world for you. Please, I want to sit under you and learn how to be wise. The wise man said nothing. He just went about his daily business and started walking, and the young man assumed that he had a following and walk with him. And followed him all day long. The man said nothing. Said nothing. Halfway through the day, the young man said, hey, I don't know if you heard me, but I came all over a long way to travel to get wisdom from you, and here all I'm getting is disrespect, and you're not showing any respect to me. I want you to teach me wisdom. The wise man said nothing. In fact, he went home, closed the door behind him, and left the guy, the young man, to stay there and wait for him for morning. And again, the young man said, I came here for wisdom. Why are you showing me with such disrespect and not giving me what I'm desiring? The wise man began his walk again. Eventually, toward the end of the day, he made his way to the beach. And as he was walking along the beach, he finally turned inward toward the water. And the young man decided to follow him until the wise man got up to about waist high. And finally, the young man said, what are you doing? I mean, you've been taking me on this jolly walk everywhere, and all I wanted was wisdom. You have said nothing. Nothing. What the deal here? And at that moment, that man took that young man and put him under the water and kept him under water where he was flailing and flailing and trying to get every way he can get up and get some breath. And he kept him down, kept him down, kept him down. Finally, he let go and the kid came out. Wow. What are you doing here? I came for wisdom and you're trying to drown me. What is the deal here? What are you trying to teach me? And he said these words, young man, when you want wisdom as bad as you wanted your next breath, then and only then will you get wisdom. That's exactly what God is saying here. Do we desire wisdom? Beloved, none of us have the insight when we take that proverbial stand when wisdom is calling out to realize instinctively and intuitively what lied beyond. When wisdom first calls, we have no idea what lies in store for those who lift and enter and follow wisdom's path. So, beloved, we must enter and pursue by faith. By faith. We got to take God at his word. We must believe what God is saying is the truth. But beloved, once you're on this path, words cannot describe the blessedness of the journey. some of the words that we have throughout the scripture that speak to the journey, that it's precious, glorious, sweet, joyful, beautiful in excellency, inexpressible and full of glory. For that to be, God must be first. He must be preeminent. He must be the chief of all our desired pursuits, not a mere addition to our lives. He must be everything. He must be our all in all. I will have no other God before me. You want wisdom? It begins with the fear of the Lord and Him alone. So may I urge you and challenge you once more. Proverbs 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless the preaching of His word. Father, thank you for your word this morning. May we be forever changed as a result of the truth of this passage. You're not going to do it and give it to the curious seeker, to the title gazer. You'll give it to those who want it, desire it, crave it, and want it like that young man needed his heir. But God, once we get the crumbs, we'll want more. Once we take it, we want more. Oh Lord, may we take you at your word and find out that you are ever so true to yourself and to those who will follow you in the path of wisdom. God, give us the craving, the hunger, and the thirst. May it be a burning one that never, ever leave us from this day forward. Oh, may we feed it, build it, strengthen it, always through the word and in the strength of the Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.